The Lord be with you.
Amen.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Thousands and thousands and thousands of pages have been written about the mystery that we celebrate today, the mystery that we call the Holy Trinity. It's a mystery because we can understand it a little bit, but that ultimately the fullness of it will always remain a mystery. Even when we go to heaven, we'll be getting to know more and more about God, but we'll never fully know it because we are creatures. God was not created. But millions and millions of pages, not just thousands. Now, anyone want to take a stab at exploring this topic in 25 words or less? Well, I'm going to do it in two. Two. And the words are unity and community. Unity and community. So we're going to use those two words as a way of looking a little bit at the Holy Trinity to see what the Holy Trinity is all about, and to find out what we're supposed to be about too. Because when we celebrate these mysteries, when we read theology, it's not just about God and what God did, but it's also about us. So we're supposed to be living the theology of the church. We're supposed to be living the understanding of the church of the Holy Trinity, all of us. So in terms of unity, God is one. God is one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God. But they're also a community of divine persons, co-equal, co-eternal, of the same substance, but still one. A community, unity with one another, but also one. And as the perfect community, they are always in agreement, always of one mind and one heart. And as Jesus says to his disciples, "You see me, you see the Father." So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. If we know the Father, we know the Spirit, and so forth and so on. Again, because they're one, despite the fact that they also are three distinct divine persons. But they always agree. And we heard that same phrase at the beginning of the Easter season when we heard about the early community of believers who truly were convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. The Acts of the Apostles says they were of one mind and one heart. Okay, so there we go. They're unified. They have one way of thinking, and yet they're a community. Many, many people. Many people, but in agreement. So, are they like the Holy Trinity? Yeah, they were doing what the Holy Trinity does. And so when we look at ourselves, we're asked to have to ask ourselves, are we being like the Holy Trinity? Are we of one mind, of one heart, one will? Do we willingly do the will of God? Are we obedient? As Jesus was, he was God, but totally obedient to the will of the Father. And as Jesus says in the gospel today, obey what I have told you so that you can be with me for all eternity. And he also gave us, before he ascended to the Father, what we're supposed to do, our order, so to speak. He said, go, proclaim the gospel, and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So if we're going to be of one mind and one heart with the Holy Trinity, the church, which is the local body of Christ, we have to be of one mind and one heart in what we're supposed to be doing. So we all have to keep coming together, reminding ourselves of who we are and what God calls us to do, and then do it. to do it, not just give lip service to it. I mean, Jesus makes it very clear. We're not just to go off in our own way and do what we want and be happy. We're supposed to go off and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as Paul says, we're going to suffer for it. That's part of the journey. But we can't do it alone. I've said this again and again. We're not saved alone. We're saved really in community. I need you. You need me. There's only one of me. There's only one of each of you. We are unique creatures of God, and each of us has particular gifts from the Holy Spirit. We heard about that last week in Pentecost. We've been given particular gifts so that we can go forward and proclaim the gospel and to do great things so that people will see those great things and they're going to say, what? What are you doing? How did you get to do that? You raised that person from the dead. What's that all about? And then we can say it's about Jesus Christ. It's about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But Jesus says we're supposed to be doing those things to draw people's attention to God, to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we already participate in the life of the Holy Trinity. We're doing it right now. Whenever we celebrate the sacraments, we are participating in the life of the Holy Trinity. But in an even more amazing way, through baptism, which is the beginning of it, but in a particular way through the sacrament of the Eucharist, we not only participate in the ongoing life of the Holy Trinity, but we are being changed to become more like the Holy Trinity. And one of the adjectives that we use for the Holy Trinity is divine. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are divine because they're God. But as we partake of God through the Eucharist, we too are becoming divine, because you cannot eat the body of Christ, drink his blood, and not be deified or divinized, that is, become divine. So already we are sharing in that divine life. And of course, it begins in baptism when we become children of God. We're truly children of God. Well, a children of God or of anyone takes on the attributes of their parents or creator. And through the sacraments, we become more and more like our divine creator, who is one and yet three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So think of that. When we go out into the world, we're not just these ordinary creatures. We are becoming divine creatures that have the authority of Christ. He's given it to us so that we can tell other people about God and draw them closer to God. So we're children. And as I've said in the past, it's not just some nice theological concept. We are truly adopted by God. Now, if you're the next party you go to, if you go to a barbecue tomorrow, say to people, I'm a child of God. Start a conversation. Or even better, say, did you know that I'm being divinized or deified? Can you imagine the response you'd get? They say, well, we're not inviting you next year. But in fact, that's what's happening. We got to get that word out because it's real, it's true, it's something amazing. We don't fully understand it, but at least we know it's true and other people have never heard it. So we've got to get that good news out to them. And again, Paul says in the reading today, he says, if we suffer with Christ, we will inherit what Christ inherited. Now think of that. Think of that. We are going to be co-heirs with Jesus. Jesus is God, fully God. What did he get? What did he always have? Everything, right? As God? So if we're going to share in his inheritance, we're going to get that too. Jesus himself says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm already seated at the right hand of the Father. You're going to sit there with me. So you got to be divine to do that. So God's doing that. So when you think of it, all this wonderful theology that we have from the church, and in particular this feast, the next week's feast on the body and blood of Christ, it's there to tell us who God is, about his love for us. But it's also to let us know who we are in his eyes and what he wants us to be and to do and to become. God does all the hard work, but we have to be faithful each and every day, going out and literally living the life of this perfect community of oneness that we know as the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one day, again, if we are faithful, we will share more fully in it, and as we go through eternity, we'll continue to share more fully in it. But now we have to sit with that mystery, recognize it is true, and take what we do know about the Holy Trinity and live it in our lives. So yes, we're individuals, and we all make a commitment or say no to God, that's up to us. But if we make that commitment to the Lord, then we have to be part of a living community, one in mind and heart, constantly coming together, not just for prayer on Sunday, but for prayer during the week, to work together, to preach the gospel, to go out two by two, as the disciples and apostles did, to share the good news of salvation. You know, so many people have not really heard much about Christ. We've heard a lot about him. We've heard a lot about the Father and the Holy Spirit. But we need to take more of that information, which is life-giving information, out into the world. So that's all of us, young, old, sick, healthy, it doesn't matter. We've been given that commission to share what we know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with everyone we meet. So we have to kind of kick ourselves and say, okay, how do I get to that? Just try it. Say, if someone says something about, let's say, a person in their life who is sick, or they're sick, what a great thing to do to say to them, can I pray for you right now about that? That's part of our commission, to pray for others. So we don't have to do it on our own. We can do it right there to that person. Let's say a little prayer. And all you have to do is say, Lord, bless so-and-so. Give them your healing love. Amen. Something simple like that. But that's one of the ways we live the life of the Trinity, because the Trinity is always there for us. Jesus is with us to the end of the age, so we have him with us as we go forth to proclaim the good news of salvation. So the ongoing work for all of us is to practice being a truly loving community. Practice being like the divine community of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so that, you know, who knows, in future years, this church may be packed with people because they've seen the signs that we work, they are excited about God, and they want to know more about this God. But we have the power to do that through Christ. But it's up to us again to say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to find ways to do it, I'm going to practice it, and every day I'm going to pick myself up if it doesn't seem to work and try something different. But that's our call, that's our blessing. We've been graced with grace upon grace so that we can do exactly that and be faithful to the great community which we know as the Holy Trinity.